Nearly 10 p.m., Dirk. So far, so good. The passengers all in their cabins, no sign of anything suspicious. Oh, I'll be glad when Cregan takes over for me. Better check him again, I suppose. It's the skipper, Miss Fedorov. Everything all right?
Passage of the Tangmar. The story of a ship and its cargo of death.
Everything is perfectly all right, Captain Goddard. And I feel very safe knowing that you and Mr. Kendall are on guard. Good night.
It hadn't been easy persuading the passengers that on this last night at sea, before reaching Papeete, I wanted them in their cabins by 8 o'clock. Major Challoner had spearheaded the objections, but I'd received considerable support from Dr. Martin Lawler and, oddly, Edwin Tuker. So now the skipper and I were patrolling the companionway outside the cabins, waiting to see if the unknown killer would realize that tonight might be his last chance to dispose of the rest of the beneficiaries under the terms of Victor Wedderman's will. I knew the skipper had a gun, and my own felt comfortable in my pocket, comfortable and friendly. At midnight, Chief Engineer Cregan was to relieve the skipper, and until then, all we had to do was to watch and wait.
Better check Tuker once more, Kendall.
Yeah, the killer has to make his move tonight, Skipper. Once we reach Papeete, this ship will be swarming with police.
For which I, for one, will be darn grateful. Goddard, Mr. Tuker, everything all right?
Yes, thank you. I'm trying to get to sleep.
Good. Well, don't forget, we're just out here if you need us.
Thank you.
Well, come on, Skipper. Major Challoner next. I can't be wrong about this, Skipper. I'm sure that in some way Slavin's death is tied in with Miller's and Blake's death. Has to be.
In spite of what Colonel Hacking said?
There has to be a connection. I'm dashed if I can see it.
Major Challoner, Goddard. Routine check, nothing more. Challoner. Major Challoner, answer me. Are you all right?
He was perfectly all right at 9. Hasn't been a soul down here since then, except the two of us.
Challoner, get this door open.
Will you two amateur detectives go away and leave me in peace? I'm trying to sleep. I have a gun next to me on the pillow, and I intend to use it on the first person who tries to open that door.
Why, that old... Challoner's sense of humor, Skipper.
Should you feel like knocking me up again, either of you, I'd stand to one side of the door because I'll shoot first and ask questions later.
Now listen to me, Challoner.
Good night, Captain Goddard. You can assure Mr. Kendall that I shall arrive on Papeete safely, in spite of him.
What the devil does he mean by that?
The Major doesn't think much of our plan, Skipper. Said he didn't like the idea of being locked in like a blasted schoolboy. That was the way he put it.
Then I wish he'd stop behaving like one. Come on, let's check the others.
What's wrong, Tuker? No appetite. Well, I should have thought this morning you'd feel like eating heartily. After all, we'll be in Papeete by midday.
No, I'm not very hungry, I find.
Something on your mind?
I suppose Mr. Kendall thinks it's safe now it's daylight. Do you?
Hmm. Do I what?
Think we're safe. Well, I mean, he guards us all night and nothing happens. And then, well, after all, he didn't catch the killer.
Didn't think he would. Not for a moment. Pass the salt, will you?
Yes. Here.
Hmm. I told him it was a damn fool scheme from the start. You and Lola wouldn't listen to me. All of us locked in like... That's ridiculous.
No, but supposing this murderer decides to move against one or perhaps even all of us in daylight.
So that's it. Well, stick close to me, Tuker. I'll look after you. Why don't you try some of this kidney? It's delicious.
No, thank you.
Good morning, Mr. Tucker.
Morning. Did you sleep well, Miss Federoff?
Dreamlessly. I felt very safe. I think I used to enjoy it more, Major Challoner, when you took your meals in your cabin.
Really? Why? Oh, yes, of course. You are able to queen it at the table, I suppose. No one here to see through you.
Major Challoner, I've come to a conclusion about you.
Really? What?
That you are perhaps more afraid than any of us. That you have to bluster and bully the people around you because that is the only way in which you can hide your fear.
What the devil do you mean?
Later on.
And since you have decided to be so persistently unpleasant, so rude, it may be as well if I tell you now that I think I know why you hate all talk of the army. Why you insist on being called Major Challoner.
Pepper Tucker.
Hey. Yes.
Carry on, Miss Federoff. I am all attention.
You are also a coward.
I beg your pardon.
Your kind invariably pick on women in the stupid assumption that they cannot fight back. But we can, Major Challoner. And unless you wish to have me mention my theories about your army career to the rest of the people on this ship, you will in future behave, if you can, as a gentleman.
Your theories?
You are so unlike an officer and a gentleman that I begin to think you might have been dishonorably discharged.
Why, you...
Let me finish, Major, if you please. I don't care why you left the army, but I will not tolerate your rudeness any more. And that is all I have to say.
Now listen to me, young woman. I'll have you know that I served my country in half a dozen outposts for years. And I have never before been called a coward.
Were there any women on these posts? Women who would bother to look beneath that bluster, that noise, and see the rather frightened little man underneath?
Really, Miss Federoff?
Shut up, Tucker! Why, if you were a man, Miss Federoff,
I... But I'm not. Is that why you have to bully your daughter, Major Challoner? So that she will believe you are what you claim to be. A tough ex-soldier. A man who is afraid of nothing. Except, perhaps, that if he stopped shouting, someone might puncture the balloon of his defenses.
I've had all I intend to take of this.
Oh, won't you finish your breakfast?
I will not eat at the same table with you, madam. Steward, bring the coffee to the cabin.
Miss Federoff, why? I mean, what is the point of antagonizing him like that? Surely you don't really think that Major Challoner's afraid of anything, do you?
I didn't. But now I'm not so sure. Men of his kind, Mr. Tucker, must be kept in their place. He's the rudest man I've ever known. He has made his daughter's life incredibly miserable, and he would like to do the same to me. But I don't think I will have any more trouble with Major Challoner. Will you pass the marmalade, please, Mr. Tucker?
Half speed, quartermaster. We'll make Pepit comfortably by midday. No need to bust Cregan's engines.
Half speed it is, sir.
You can lead the bridge, quartermaster. Mr. Kendall and I will take over.
Right, sir.
Well, Kendall, where did we go wrong? Why didn't the killer show up, eh? Answer me that.
I can't. I've been asking myself since dawn.
I'll tell you why, because he couldn't.
Couldn't?
He or she was locked in for the night, and we were on guard outside. There wasn't one of those passengers who could make a move without us knowing about it.
Yes, I've thought of that. It does make it look as if one of the passengers must be the person we're after, but there's another aspect you might not have thought of.
What's that?
Well, in the charter for this boat to make the trip to Jamaica, it was stated that in order to collect their share of the Wherryman estate, the beneficiaries had to arrive together on a specified date.
The 21st of September, but...
If the killer is sure that his identity is safe, he's achieved part of his aim already.
I don't get this.
Well, if the Tangmar is held at Papeete for a police investigation, the passengers have no chance of being in Jamaica on time. Therefore, they lose their shares in the million. You follow?
I hadn't even thought of that.
Neither had I until now. I can't see the passengers wanting that to happen, can you? Each of them knows that they have to be there on the 21st of September.
So it comes back to the crew?
I think so. Unless there's some loophole in Wherryman's will that we don't know about.
You've been through that, Will, with a fine-tooth comb.
I know. So the moment we dock at Papeete, the Wherryman fortune is lost to the four beneficiaries who are left.
But I can't let that happen, Kendall, and you know it. Why, dash it all,
Listen, Skipper, this is police business now.
And the Blake Shipping Company accepted a charter which I'm going to be incapable of carrying out once we reach Papeete.
Well, that's too bad.
I said once before I would bypass Papeete if I had to. My first job is at the shipping company, Kendall. Unless these passengers reach Jamaica, they stand to lose a fortune. I can't let that happen, because if it does, The Tengmar will have made this voyage for nothing.
Do you think Blake will put the fortunes of his shipping company ahead of the fact that his son was murdered? Well, I don't, Skipper. You want the killer found and arrested.
Yes, you're right. I don't know what to do, Dirk.
If there was only the faintest clue to his identity. I've questioned every member of the crew until they hate the sight of me. I can't make an arrest until I have proof. It's getting very hard to find.
Do you think the local police in Papeete will be able to do any better?
They might find something that I've missed.
And they might not. Now look, Kendall.
Mr. Kendall, there's trouble in the engine room. Seaman Jones and a whole bunch of them. They reckon if they're not going to be allowed ashore at Papeete, then they're not taking the ship any further.
Chief Engineer Cregan had warned me that the crew were frightened, and that when they discovered they wouldn't be allowed ashore at Papeete, there'd be trouble. In my anxiety to find the killer, I'd forgotten the warning, and now it looked as though we faced a mutiny in this passage of the Tengmar.